This week is Parshas Mishpatim. It's also Erev Rosh Chodesh Adar, and it's Parshas Shkolim. We spoke about Shkolim yesterday. Maybe we'll mention something about Shkolim at the end. It's Erev Rosh Chodesh. It's very complicated what the Haftarah should be. Right? The Haftarah, we have three Haftarahs competing for tomorrow. We have the Haftarah Parshas Mishpatim, Mocha Chodesh, and we have Shkolim. Who wins? Shkolim wins because
Machach Chodesh never wins over anything.
There are some in Hagim, we don't do this, that they read a few psukim, pasuk. That's not so pashet. That's a very big debate if you're really supposed to lane from klaf. If you're really supposed to lane from klaf, you would never lane the first last pasuk. But if the laning of the Haftarah was never necessarily meant to be from klaf, it's just an additional hider, then there's not such great harm in great laning print the Chumash, the first and last pasuk of Machodesh. But in any event, the beginning of the parsha begins with the parsha of Eved Ivri. Okay, so let me read the first words of the pasuk. I want to tell you now is not a complete vart. I always tell you incomplete verlach for you to finish, for you to think about, and for you to be mashlim on your own. Just to throw out an idea, and you can talk about it. Ve'ela hamishpat masher tas b'lufneim ki sikne, the very first mission of this parsha, ki sikne Eved Ivri. If one were to purchase a Jewish slave, so the law is, a Jewish slave may not work more than 6 years. Shei shanim yavod uvashviyis, in the year 7, yetzei lachov shichinam. That's it. Jewish slavery only goes for 6 years. And we know that a Jewish slave is not really a slave. The halacha requires the master treat him better than he treats himself. The same bed, the same type of mattress that you sleep on, you better make sure that your slave has that mattress. If you have an expensive $10,000 mattress, then you better make sure, listen to these commercials on the radio, they have all these different mattresses, you better make sure that your slave has that mattress as well. Ki toiv lo imach, it has to be good for him with you. Okay, it's not so easy to mekayem the mitzvah of having a Jewish slave. Question is, why do we refer to the slave as an Eved Ivri? I'll just tell you a question which I don't have a good answer for. I saw the question asked. The pasuk should really say, Ki sikne Ivri le'Eved. If one will purchase an Ivri for a slave. Why does it say an Eved Ivri? That appears not to be the correct form of the term.
Like a Jewish American or American Jew.
Yeah, that's right. So it really has a connotation that this person, the MS, is a slave. That's his essence. That's who he is. And he happens to be Jewish. That maybe will be part of the answer, part of what I'm trying to get to. But seemingly it should say, Ki sikne Ivri le'Eved. Now, like Yishmol, Hu yeh pera Adam. It should be Adam parua. Teretz is, he's not an Adam. He's a parua that looks like an Adam. Same thing, Eved Ivri. Why does it say Eved Ivri and not Ivri le'Eved? So I want to suggest an idea, which is probably a bit controversial, but it's something that we should be aware of in any event. Going back to Chumash Bereishis, Parshas Noach, Perek Yud Pasuk Chof Aleph. There we learn about shame. Now we have to know where we come from. We come from Noach. Okay, I'm going to skip all the generations from Adam until Noach. There were 10 generations. We come to Noach. Noach had 3 sons, Shem, Ham, and Yafes. Noach to Avram.
Also 10.
There are 3 levels of 10. Correct. But let's go. Adam had, there were 10 generations from Adam until Noach. Let's put those generations aside. Now we come to Noach. Noach had 3 sons, Shem, Ham, and Yafes. Yafes had, one of the 3 sons was Shem. Shem had a son, Arpachshad. I'm only listing the names that we need. One of Shem's son was Arpachshad. Arpachshad had Shelach. Shelach had a son called Eber. Eber is a very famous person in Tanakh. There was a Beis Medrash of Shem and a Beis Medrash of Eber, which means Eber was the great grandson of Shem. It was a very great age gap between the Rosh Hashiva Shem and the Rosh Hashiva Eva. He was the great grandson to go to yeshiva. So there's the father and the son. You'll find also father and a grandson. A father and a great grandson? That's the way it was. There was a great man called Shem. He was a Kohen. He lived very long. We know Malki Tzedek Melech Sholem. Someone learned that he was Shem. Shem ben Noach. We find Shem reappearing throughout Chazal, throughout Tanakh. And he had a great-grandson, his name was Aver. Aver had a whole, then we have a whole long line of generations. Aver had a son Peleg, Reu, Serug, Nochar, Terach, and Avram. So where do we come from? We come from Avram. Avram's father was Terach. Terach plays an important role in Klal Yisrael. We're not going to get into that now. Terach also contributes to the makeup of Klal Yisrael through Lot, because he had Haran, and Haran had Lot, and from Lot comes Melech HaMashiach. So to a certain degree, we also have no choice but to trace our lineage back to Terach. Terach, to some degree, includes Melech HaMashiach, Moav. And if we go up further, we also go all the way back to Aver. Aver is direct link from Klal Yisrael. We go back to, and Aver was the great grandson of Shem, and Shem also, Yerushalayim is called after Shem. Shem called it Malki Tzedek Melech Sholem. Shem called Yerushalayim Sholem, and Avram called it Yeroeh, Bahar Hashem Yeroeh, and the combination of Yeroeh and Sholem becomes Yerushalayim. So Shem definitely has great influence on Klal Yisrael. Now, here we have in Bereishis Perek, good pasuk of Aleph, the lineage, the descendants of Shem. U'l'Shem Yulad Gamhu. Shem also had children, not only Cham and Yefes. Shem is also a person. I'm also a person. He also had children. Who did he have? The pasuk goes on to, who is Shem? By the way, who is Shem? You should know that Shem is Avi, the father, Shel Bnei Aver. He is the father of the children of Aver. Now, I already said something which is not 100% precise, but he's Bnei Aver, the people of Aver. And he also, Shem also happens to be Achi Yefes, Hagadol happens to be the brother of Yefes. Hagadol, Yefes is the older brother of Shem. One very simple pasuk, which says a lot. One more time. Shem had children. Also had children. Shem happens to be the father, and we now know more precisely, the great-grandfather, the ancestor of Aver. Of Bnei Aver. Not only Aver, but all of those that will come from Aver. And Shem happens also to be the younger brother of Yefes. Fascinating pasuk. The Yichus, you talk about a person, you say, oh, you know, this, he's an enikel of this Rebbe. He's the enikel of this person. But sometimes you talk about a person, when you go back and look at history, you know who he is? He is the ancestor of these people. You want to know about the Chinese? You want to know where they come from? This is their ancestor. You want to know about the Japanese? This is their ancestor. You want to know about the Africans? This is their ancestor. You want to know the Yichus of Shem? You know who Shem was? He is the great-grandfather of Aver. And from Aver came all of these wonderful people, the Bnei Aver. Now, simple question. What does it mean? Translate for me the word Aver. There is a major machloikis rishonim, the translation of the word Aver. Klal Yisrael are called Ivrim. We are called people that come from the Bnei Aver. So let me read you Rashi. Start with always. Now the Targum is vague. Targum is not so clear. Targum, I think, more leans in the direction of Rashi. Targum Yonasan Nazil also appears to lean in the direction of Rashi. It's a little bit vague. And I'll read you the Rashi. Avi kol Bnei Aver Hanohar. Hoya Shem. Shem was the father of all the people that lived on the other side of the river. Which river? The Euphrates. And this we know very well from learning Ezra. There was a river which went down halfway down the world, the civilized world, the east and the west. On the east side was Bavel, was Ashur, were a whole group of nations, Cush, whole bunch of nations on the east side of the world. And then there were people who lived on the other side of the Euphrates, Eretz Yisrael, which later developed into Aram and Canaan and Mitzrayim, on the other side of the river. So Aver means the side. And all the people that come from the west side of the world, they are all descendants of Shem. This is how Rashi learns. And let me read the Ramban. E'avi kol b'nei Aver. Who is Shem? Shem is the great-grandfather of No, you don't have to come onto the word great-grandfather. I take that back. You know, we're not referring to a person. We're referring to he from his children. His children occupied the west side of the world. Shuavi called Yoishvei. Shem is the father of all the people that live on the west side of the river. The west side of the river. Kol Yoshvei Ever Hanar, Shumakom Yichus Avram, which will ultimately be the place where Avraham, many generations down, 10 generations down, would settle. Many generations will come and settle. The Lord then, Ramban goes on to say, by the way, don't give me another interpretation for this pasuk. The Ramban now is opening up big, big machlekes. I'm well aware that I have here in front of me a Mikros Gedolos, and I have a whole list of Rishonim, including the Ibn Ezra, who says, Pum Faker, that's not what it means. Don't give me no Ibn Ezra here. The lo yitochein, don't tell me you mean Shehoya Eiver B'mokoim Hazeh Shem Ish Avi Pelek. Kilama yichas oisan elav. Why would the pasuk mention him? That's the great grandson. The Ramban says Aver means the side. Shem is the father of everyone that lived on the other side of the river, the west side. And don't tell me Aver is the name of Shem's great grandson. Why would we single out a great grandson here more than a son, a grandson, a great great grandson, and all the other people, the whole long list of names that I mentioned over here in this pasuk? The Ibn Ezra strongly disagrees. Ibn Ezra says, Avi kol b'nei Eiver, lehoidia eso Ivrim. This pasuk is coming to make known to the Jews, the Ivrim. We are called Ivrim. All the Jews are called Ivrim. Ish Ivri, hitzilan miyadam. In Mitzrayim we were called Ivrim. Ki ein, even after Matan Torah. Parashas Mishpatim is after Matan Torah. We're still called Ki Sikne Eved Ivri. At the time of Yirmiyah, time of the Bayis Rishon, that's the Haftarah of Parashas Mishpatim, where Yirmiyah gives Musa to Klal Yisrael that you're committing the worst sin in the world. What's the worst sin in the world? You've taken Jewish slaves and you're forcing them to work more than 6 years. And he says the world's going to come to an end unless you release the Jewish slaves after 6 years. And there, in the time of the Bayis Rishon, the end, Yirmiyah is the very, very end of the Bayis Rishon, we're also being called Ivrim. He's saying those same exact words. So Ibn Ezra says, Lohudia Avi Ivrim, that the father, Avi Ivrim, ki ein lamala mimenu. Unbelievable what he says. That you should know that when we trace our lineage as Jews, we should remember that we come from Aver. And is no one greater than Aver. The Hashem Elokov. And Hashem is the God of Aver. Incredible. We think that our Yichud stops with Avram, right? Elokei Avram, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. Then you want to go down. You're always looking to go down to David. You're looking to go down to a Hasidic Rebbe that you come from. No. You should know, Ibn Ezra says that our Yichud goes to Aver. And there was no one greater than Aver. And you should take the greatest pride that you, a Jew, come from Aver.
More than Abraham?
No, not more than Abraham. It's different. Before Abraham, Abraham was different. He was the first to be Makir.
The first one was Makir
Hashem. Because, it has to be understood. I guess that maybe why the Ramban is very disturbed. Rabbi doesn't like this. But you cannot deny that Noach ish tzaddik could even be masig the madrega of Noach, could be masig the madrega of Shem and his great grandson Aver. There's something very important about Aver. V'chein kosov koyamar Hashem elokeho Ivrim. So now he opens up an inyan which you can go through the entire Tanakh. So says Hashem, the God of the Ivrim, Uchanan Avi. But then he goes, follows up that now when the pasuk mentions Canaan, they're the lowest of the low. They don't believe in God. They're slaves and so on and so forth. Okay. So basically, we have here a fundamental machloikis Ibn Ezra on one side, and not only Ibn Ezra, you look very carefully, you'll find many Rishonim say the same thing. And on the other side, the Ramban with Rashi, every time it says in Tanakh the word Ivri, we are Ivrim, what does that mean? Either it means we are descendants of Aver. A Jew is not just a descendant of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, we also trace our Yichus to Aver. Or it means we are descendants of people that came from the other side of the river.
Could it be the same thing?
It is the same because the Jew the Aver did live. Aver did live on the other side of the river. But what is the focus? Is the focus just a geographic description of the Jewish people? We came from a certain part of the world. We came from the west side of this river, which divided the civilized world. Or no, that's not what it means. It means we are descendants of this individual whose name was Aver. Now, let's go to our parsha. Ki sikne eved ivri. One example of hundreds of examples. If you purchase a slave who's an ivri, that means either an ivri is a borrowed term, it's a slave who's Jewish, and a Jew is called a person who came from the west side of the river. Okay, that's a simple term. That's what the Ramban says. The Ramban says that we call that because Avraham settled on the west side of the river. So it's a borrowed term. Or ki sikne eved, a Jew. Why is a Jew called a Jew? He is a descendant of Aver. Okay, now let's go a step further. We know that in ancient times there were two Bate Midrashos. There was the Beis Medrash of Shem and the Beis Medrash of Aver, all over Tanakh. But if you look very carefully in Rashi, and you look very carefully in the Gemara, sometimes the Beis Medrash of Shem is singled out, and sometimes the Beis Medrash of Aver is singled out. Like, you know, today, there are different Hashkafas in Klal Yisrael. That's what makes Klal Yisrael great, diversity. There's a Mahalich of Torah in Derech Eretz. Okay, this is a Mahalich Sham Shem Fol Hirsch, a Mahalich of Torah Derech Eretz, and then there's a Mahalich of No, Torah Lishma. There's no Derech Eretz, you live a life L'malim Derech HaTeva. I don't know how you do it, but you do it somehow. But there's a different Mahalich, a different Hashkafa. And they have yeshivas, and they have institutions which teach this approach to students. Different. Every yeshiva has a different approach, a different hashkafa. We have Beis Medrash of Shem, Beis Medrash of Shem. Let me give you an example. We have here, let's recite from memory. We have Vayisroi Tetzu Habana Bikirba. Rivka's pregnant after praying for many years to have a child. Finally, she's pregnant. And now when she passed the Beis Medrash, the child is kicking to come out. When she passes the Beis Medrash, the Zara of the child is kicking to come out. Vayisroi Tetzu Habana Bikirba. Tam Im Kein Lama Zenach Vatelech Lid. Who does she go to? Beis Midrash Shel Shem. Look in Rashi. There's another Rashi, another Girsa, so that's not accurate. It appears the Ikar Girsa is she went to the Beis Midrash Shel Shem. Why didn't she go to the Beis Midrash of Aver? Why Shem? Okay, so let's hold off for a moment. Let's go to Parshas Vayetze. In Parashas Vayetze, this is the critical part that I really want to bring out. Yaakov Avinu, he flees from his brother Esav. Esav wants to kill him. Rivka says, "You must leave. I don't want to mourn for both of you on the same day. Get out of here. Go get a wife. Go get married. Go run away to my brother." He has a detour, 14-year detour. In Beis Midrash Shel Aver. How do we know this? Rashi, the Gemara, Masechta Megillah, Daf Tezayin, it's a Gemara. And just to bring out the Rashi, Rashi says he comes there finally after 14 years, he leaves, he travels to Eretz Yisrael, and Vayolon Sham Balayla Hahu. He's tired, he takes 12 stones, he puts them underneath his head as a pillow, and he goes to Balayla Hahu. What did Chazal say? That night he slept. But he did not sleep for the last 14 years when he went to flee to learn in the Beis Medrash of Aver. So Gemara, not Shem, doesn't say there anywhere Shem. Yaakov went to study in the Beis Medrash of Aver for 14 years. So the question is, why is Rivka going to Shem, and why is Yaakov going to study in the Beis Medrash of Aver?
Because she lived in Eretz Yisrael and he went to go above her, so Aver was more.
It was on the way. They were both in Eretz Yisrael. They were both there. It seemed they were both there. Okay, there are other examples of where they went to learn, where they went to the whole question. Where after the Akedah, Yitzhak went to learn. I think that Yitzhak went to the Beis Medrash of Shem, if I'm not mistaken. Not that it says the way he went to learn. Okay. Let's explain.
Maybe Aver put the name of the
Yeshua Shem,
but Aver was alive when
he came. Shem was also alive. Doesn't necessarily mean they don't need to be alive. It was their yeshiva. It was their approach. What?
Yaakov was alive when Shem was alive.
It was their base medrash. It seems that they were still alive. Let's assume for now they were still alive. So let's go back to the question. So the answer is as follows. Yaakov Avinu went to study the base medrash of Aver, in the base medrash of Aver, in preparation for going to Lavan. What did Yaakov do in the home of Lavan? What did he do for 20 years? He didn't exactly learn in Koilah. He worked, and he said himself in Parashas, at the end of Parash Vayetze, Ki Avadetani, I was a slave to your father. He used the word slave. He worked as a slave for Lavan for 20 years, 7 years for each one of his wives, and then an additional 6 years on his own until he finally left, until Yosef was born. He worked. Yaakov Avinu was a student of Yitzchak. Yitzchak was an Oyla Tamima. Yitzchak was Torah Lashma. There was no such thing. We don't find anywhere Yitzchak working. I mean, we do find Meir Sharim. He had servants that went and brought him, and they were successful. They dug burrows and Meir Sharim. But generally speaking, Yitzchak was an Oyla Tamima. Yitzchak studied under the influence of Shem. Shem was the Kohen Tzedek. We learned it all over. Malki Tzedek Melech Shalom Hotzi Lechem V'Yayin. What does a Kohen do in Chumash? A Kohen doesn't work. A Kohen does not have a chelek in Eretz Yisrael. The Kohanim that we know from Tanakh are people that are 100% devoted to the service of the Beis Hamikdash, who are supported by the Tzibur. That is the way Kohanim are defined in Tanakh. They're supported by the Tzibur. Shem was a Kohen Tzedek. He was the first Kohen Tzedek. And therefore that gives us the full right to assume certainly Shem did not work. Or not work the way we know it. He was supported by the Tzibur, or independently wealthy, whatever that means. But he represented the idea of 100% devotion to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to serve Hashem through Kahuna. Yaakov Avinu, Yitzchak, was an Oyla Tamima. Yitzchak was under the influence of Shem. And Yitzchak, Rivka, when she did not know what was taking place, where did she go? She went to Beis Medrash. She went to her husband's yeshiva. When a woman gets married and they have a question, so who do they go to? They go to who's Rav? All spiritual matters, they go to the Rav of the husband. So she went, Lidroishtu, to the Messiah. Who's the Messiah Kedushin for Yitzchak? His Rosh Hashiva. Who's the Rosh Hashiva? Shem. She went to Shem. What was Shem all about? Shem was a Kohen Tzedek, a Kohen Lo Yeluchem Chelek. They don't have a portion in the land of Kohanim. They're Kulu LaHashem. Now, Yaakov Avinu, who's a child of Yitzchak, you know, the Rebbe, the father always sends the children some of the time to the yeshiva that the father learned. He learned an MTJ, so you send the kids to MTJ. Wherever you go, wherever your Rebbe is, that's where you send your children. So Yaakov L'chayr was brought up under the influence of Shem. But now Yaakov is going to Lavan. Run away. You're going to get killed here. Sakana. You got to go. So why didn't he go right away? I'm going to a whole new world. I'm going to a world where I'm going to have to work. I'm not going to be supported by the Tzibur. It's not going to be a Beis HaMikdash where I'm going to be taken care of. I'm going to have to work slave labor for 20 years for two wives and for myself. I need to go to a new yeshiva to learn how to serve Hashem mitoch derech eretz, torim derech eretz. Therefore, he had to go to the base midrash shel Eiver. A whole, right, changes major, a whole new mahalach in avodas Hashem, yeah.
Well, Rashi in Vayeshev, in Pasuk, Eric Lamed Zayin, Pasuk Gimel.
Yeah.
Rashi said, Kivein Zikuna Bulo, and Rashi says the following.
The shame of the Avery, he says both. Okay, where is this Rashi?
In
okay, I hear the question, but he says both. Saying, okay, I hear the question, we have to analyze more. Also, you should be very, we have to be very careful. I'm not saying this is a joke, but the Girsos, the shame of the Aver. Sometimes Aver is added in and Shem is added in just by accident, by a printer. So you have to trace the source, because if you have that issue when it comes to Aver, It's a Gemara Masechta Megillah Daf Tes Zayin that Yaakov Avinu, when he went to study in the Beis Medrash of Eiver, there's no room for doubt. There's no room to budge over there. It was clearly the Beis Medrash of Eiver. When Rivka went by Yisrael Sabanim Bekibah by Zdeilach Lidush Hashem, the real Girsa is shame. There's a printer's error that also entered shame the Eiver. Added Eiver also. You have to look in the different Chumashim and you'll come across that.
At this point in time, chronologically.
Yeah.
Shame wasn't alive anymore, so maybe it became one yeshiva early on when you
they merged.
What you're based on, Shame
was still alive. Or it could be that his approach to life, his legacy, right? But even though he died, doesn't mean that the Beis Medrash closed up. The mahalach of life continued in this Beis Medrash. Okay, so therefore this is the idea. We have over here these two different types of yeshivas. Yaakov Avinu, he went to study in the Beis Medrash of Eiver. He could not go directly to Lavan. He first had to learn how to serve Hashem through Torah im Derech Eretz. He needed new training. He went for 14 years first to the Beis Medrash of Eiver. Now we can understand. So what does it mean then? When we refer to Klal Yisrael as Eiver, we are Ivrim. What does that mean? We have a work ethic. That's really what it means. We are Talmidim, Klal Yisrael called Ivrim. We come from, we are all students of Eiver. Just like Yaakov Avinu, his Rosh Hashiva was Eiver. Yaakov Avinu, before he got married and founded the 12 Shvatim, he was heavily influenced by Eiver. That was his spiritual father, his spiritual Rosh Hashiva. And what did Eiver teach him? He taught him how to serve Hashem mitoch derech eretz. Work ethic. To work. To serve. And serve mitoch yirah shemayim, to be honest in business, to be honest in all your dealings, not to be devoted like Kohanim kul LaHashem. Okay, there's both. There's a mahalach of shame, a mahalach of Eiver. But Yaakov Avinu in his preparation was under the influence of an ivory, the work ethic. Now the truth is, Klaus, we're both. There are different aspects in every single person of shame, and there's an aspect of Eiver. Klal Yisrael in the Midbar for 40 years, they were beget their shame. 40 years, they were eating man. They didn't work a day in their life. They received man. Their clothing did not wear out. Food was provided. Just koilo, 24-7. Then they come into Eretz Yisrael, no more man. You have to work the land. You have to learn how to serve Hashem mitoch derech Eretz. You have to farm the land and work the land. There are different tekufas in life. There's a tekufa of shame. There's a tekufa of Eiver. Every person in different tekufa in his life, he has to come back and draw upon the lessons of shame, the lessons of Eiver. Now we come to the Eved. Why is he called an Eved Ivri? Why isn't he called an Eved Yisraeli, Eved Yehudi? Because the essence of this person is the work ethic. He's an Ivri. Ivri means he's coming to you. I want to work. I want to work. I am focusing now that I am a Talmud, like my ancestor Yaakov Avinu, of Eiver. If you have an Eved Yisraeli, it's not going to go good. It's not going to work. He's not going to want to work. I'll take in a worker, and I'll say, I have to daven mincha now. I have to daven shach. And not just the mincha. Afachona chasidim harishonim hayu shoyim an hour before mincha, an hour after mincha. And this is for shachas and ma'ariv. It's already 9 hours. So when are you going to work? Well, we have to have divrei Torah during the day. If you have an Eved Yisraeli, it's not going to go. When you come to serve, you have to come with the Mesorah of Yaakov Avinu, who went and learned by the Rosh Shiva Eiver for 40 years, and the Hachana to, this is Eved Ivri. Okay, we have Rashi and the Ramban. Ramban, this is not going to work, because the Ramban says Ivri Eiver Hanor. But according to Ibn Ezra, Ivri means we are people that have a work ethic. We are all Talmidim of shame. We have to do something very important. This is a very important yisod. Shame is a Talmid of Eiver is a Talmid of shame. You have to know the order. First comes shame, then comes Eiver. Eiver builds upon shame. You cannot in the Midbar, I remember my Rebbe of Chaim Tzibul used to tell us, we used to have Chaim Berlin, so every yeshiva, they do different things. You can really finish English, 12th grade, the curriculum, fulfill all the state requirements in, I don't know how it is, I think they increase the requirements, it's more complicated today. But years ago, you can finish all the requirements in 3.5 years. And then many of the girls' schools, they take college credits, they do a lot of extracurricular activities. Those years was a little bit different. Though going back, I do not know what goes on today. I have no idea. Things change very quickly. But in those days, so many boys then wanted to go to college. They wanted to go to college, or they wanted to do other things like a lot of other schools. They have college credits, early admission, so on and so forth. So he was very makbid. This was his approach. I'm not telling this, not for everyone. People in his yeshiva, that he arranged that the curriculum would be finished by the middle of January, February of 12th grade, and then the remaining half of the year, only learning. Learning 24/7 for those 6 months. And then the next year, after you finish those 5 months, whatever it is, 4 or 5 months, okay, then next year, whatever you do, you go to college, and he would say, before you have a tekufa in your life of Torah and Derech Eretz, those people that are going to leave and going to go to college and going to go to work, you have to first have a tekufa in your life of just Torah Lishma. You cannot, it's dangerous to go, even though this is what you want, this is your hashkafa, but there has to first be a tekufa of Torah Lishma, and then you can decompress, you can go into the tekufa of Torah and Derech Eretz. That is the order. Shame comes first. First comes shame. Shame is the Kohen Tzedek. Kohanim have no chelik in the land. They just serve Hashem. They're supported by others. Then the great-grandson builds upon this hashkafa. Now you can go a step further. You can have a tekufa of Torah Derech Eretz. Klal Yisrael for 40 years were in Kohelel. Then they came into Eretz Yisrael. That's the process. So here as well, Yaakov Avinu, he was first under the influence of his father Yitzchak, the Oyla Tamima. In fact, his birth was predicted by Shame. Shame said, Shnei Goyim Bevidneich. This was the source. Then, after Yaakov had to go to work for 20 years, he then goes to the Beis Midrash, Shel Iver. When we want to refer to that Hashkafa, we refer to ourselves as Ivrim. We have the work ethic, and we know how to serve Hashem mitoch Derech Eretz.
And what did Ivrim change?
What? It's not necessarily a change. Everyone, you can't generalize. Not everyone is cut out to sit and learn the whole day. Hashem did not create a world that we should sit and work the whole day. The world needs, people have to be busy with the world. Everyone is different. It's not a matter of Mishkaf. Everyone has a different place in this world. Everyone has to find their niche. It's not a matter of changing. This was not his tafkid in life. Either.
How do we know that Aver held the shita of...
We don't know. This is my hypothesis. Because Yaakov Avinu went for 14 years. I'm not the only one saying this. I vaguely remember hearing other people say the same idea. I can't put a name on it. But this is... He went there for 14 years. There's shame and Eder. There has to be a difference between the two. And you look carefully, you see shame is always associated with Torah Lishma, and Eder is associated with the concept of Torah Derech Eretz. And now we can appreciate when we say that a Jew is an Ivri, and we don't refer to him by the other titles of a Yehudi or a Yisraeli, but as an Ivri, we're referring to the work ethic a Jew has. And that's why Avodim are called an Eved Ivri.
Yeah, but for those that you said there's two types, there's those that can be like Shane, which is purely...
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be a higher...
Not necessarily.
Or at least, why are we picking just to define an Ivri as that work rather than ignoring shames?
It's not ignoring. It's not ignoring. It's building upon. It's different. It's not ignoring. It's just a different approach. It's not. What's good for one is not good for someone else. And for even one person himself, there's a tekufa in your life when you follow this tekufa, and this is a tekufa, you follow this tekufa. There are many, life is extremely complicated, and you can't generalize it any one way. There are many different factors. And it's interesting also to note that Yaakov Avinu, how many years did he work for himself? Only 6 years. He fulfilled this halacha. He worked for his wife 7 years apiece. But once he was independent, it was 14 years, 6 years, and after 6 years, Yetzei Lachav Shichinam. And what do we learn from this parasha? There's a very great danger of being an Ivri. The work ethic is extremely dangerous. You can get so caught up in this approach of focusing so much on Torah Derech Eretz that you can become a Nirtza. You can say after 6 years, it comes a tkuf in life where you don't need it anymore. You now have grown and you can change your approach, whatever the situation allows. So, and if it's not proper for you to be in that approach and you continue, that's the parsha of Nirtza. Or half the es adoni, the es ish, the es, but I love it, say chavshi. I love it like this. It's not always right. There's a time for everything. There's a time for every. There's a time for being a Yisraeli. There's a very great danger in the work ethic of Ivri. You can go to an extreme. They're incredible nihilists. Yaakov spent 14 years mastering this. He spent 20 years working. Don't kid you. We're not kidding ourselves. They're very great nihilists. But there's no such thing in the world. Too much of any one thing is no good. There has to be a balance. And the balance is, don't say after 6 years or half the yes, I don't know, yes, ishi, lo yetzei chavshi, that is dangerous. So I think that gives us a whole new approach when you hear the word Ivri. Avraham ho Ivri. Avraham, the man who had a work ethic. Klal Yisrael, we're Ivrim. In Mitzrayim, we worked. Eved Ivri. Omo ho Ivriya. It always has that connotation, the focusing on earn that yogato matzasa, the pleasure in life of earning your keep. Okay, let's go to another idea. Running out of time. Okay, let's just this idea. I found this idea made a very nice, powerful impression on me. It's a very holy parasha this week. We learn about Ma'aseh Merkava. Scary parasha. One of the scariest psukim in the Torah appears in the end of this week's parasha. We are at the end of after all the halachas. We go back to Matan Torah. Moshe Ola Elulokim. Moshe went to Shemayim. He brought down the Luchos. And in the process here it says, and in the Sukkim it says, the Vayiru, let me run back, Vayikach Moshe Sadom, he brought down a carbon, he sacrificed the carbon, he took the blood, half the blood he poured on the people, on their heads, and the half he poured on the Mizbeach. Vayal Moshe Aviaro, Nodav Aviv, Vashivim Zigna Yisrael, Vayiru. And they saw Eis Elokei Yisrael. Unbelievable. This is Perek Chof Dalet, Pasuk Yud. Pasuk Yud. Vayiru is Aaron, Moshe, Nodav Vavihu, Vishavim Zigne Yisrael, Vayiru. And they saw Hashem. Lo Yirani Ha'odam Vachai. They saw scary pasuk in the middle of Mishpatim. You don't have this type of pasuk anywhere in the Torah where man is seeing God and he lives. Vayiru eis Elokei Yisrael. Haflev ofela. Vesachas raglav. They saw Hashem's feet. Underneath. Perek chov dalet. Pasuk yud. Vesachas raglav. Beneath Hashem's feet. Kimasei. Livnas ha-sapir. Livnas means a brick. Sapir is sapphire. A certain type of stone. I don't know, what does it, you know, it looks like? What color is it?
Blue?
Chelas. Okay, sapphire. Livnas ha-sapir. A brick of sapphire. Uch etzem ha-shamayim lo-toar. The essence, the heaven was the essence, it looked like the essence of purity. The heaven has a purity to it, a color, a blue, hewish color. That's what the what it looked like. Tachas raglof. Okay, what is going on here? What's going on? What is the pasuk here trying to tell us? Now, we are fortunate that this is not the only time in Tanakh where we have a record of Ma'aseh Merkava. Okay, let's go to Yechezkel. Yechezkel is the Haftarah we lay on the first day of Shavuos. So let me see here, we have it. Okay, in the beginning of the very beginning of Yechezkel. And it talks about what Yechezkel saw. It's in the Chumash, page 615. Okay, it's page 615. Let me see. I have it over here, but I wrote it down. 1 second. I wrote it down, I can't find it here. A pasuk yud aleph. No, it's not the pasuk. Perik yud. Yecheskel pasuk Yud Aleph, so I don't have it here. It says something very similar but a little bit different. Gachle Eish. Okay, you'll have to look it up later on. I can't find it now. But the Pasuk says something to the effect Even Hasapir. Not Livnas Hasapir. Maybe someone can find it while I'm speaking. Instead of it saying in the Maisa Merkava of Yecheskel that he saw underneath HaKadosh Baruch Hu's feet, he saw Livnas Hasapir, he saw an Even Sapir. So the question is, what is the difference between an Even and a Levena? Pasuk Chavav? Okay, Pasuk Chavav, Umimal l'rakia asher al roisham kimari even sapir, Demuskise. I saw the appearance of a stone, a sapphire stone. Excellent. So the question is, what is going on? Why is it that the vision of Yecheskel sees a Kadosh Baruch Hu, he sees HaKadosh Baruch Hu's tzura, or the aura surrounding HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is an even sapir, whereas here in Parash Mishpatim it describes as a livnas sapir. So I think you know where I'm coming to. There's a pasuk in the beginning in Noach, Perik Yud Aleph Pasuk Yud Gimel, in the time of the Bavel, the Migdal of Bavel, Perik Yud Aleph Pasuk Yud Gimel. Pasuk tells us the difference between an Even and a Levena. Perik Yud Aleph. No, this is not. That's not the rest. The wrong pasuk. Okay, in the Migdal of Bavel, Vayom Sofa Achas. Pasuk Gimel. Which parak? Yud Aleph. Okay, Perik Yud Aleph Pasuk Gimel. Yom Yishlo Reu Hava Nilbuna Levenim V'Dishul L'Shreifa V'Tehilohem HaLeveno LeOven V'HaChemor HaYelohem LaChomer. In Babel, there was a problem. There were no stones. And in fact, when we learned Daniel was put into the Govar Royos by Daryavish, and they sealed the cave with an Even Chadah, with a very large singular stone. And the Mepharshim are disturbed. What do you mean? In Babel, there are no stones. There are no stones. It says, Beferish here in Chumash in Parashas Noach. And the Mepharshim answered, that's right, it was a miracle. That the Malachim, they brought a very large stone from Eretz Yisrael just for this purpose, that Daniel should be thrown into the den of lions and should be locked in by a very large stone. There are no stones in Bavel. So how then were they able to build a Migdol? Technology. Improvise. You don't need to use stones. You don't need plastic. You don't need raw materials. Plastic. You can do whatever you want. They were able to improvise. They took clay and they took water and they made Levanim bricks, a man-made stone. It's something which a human being crafts with his own ingenuity to replace what is natural in Even. V'atihi lohem ha-levena le-oven, v'ha-chemar ho-yelohem le-chomer. The chemar, the mortar, the clay that was there, became the mortar, the cement to build this tower. In Farshim here they focus and they explain this is the essence of the chait of the Dar HaFlaga. The Dar HaFlaga came to the realization there was an advancement of technology, and they said, like today, very much similar to what the situation is today, we don't need the Ribbono Shel Olam. We are self-sufficient. In ancient times, before the Dar HaFlaga, people realized there are earthquakes and there are storms, and a person is very, very, is always in danger. And when a person's in danger, you have no choice but to come on to the Ribbono Shel Olam, we mispallel to you, that when there is a storm, when there is a natural occurrence, a natural disaster, we need protection. Make sure that we're in the right place at the right time, and when things happen, we are aware of our surroundings, so we can protect ourselves from harm that may come our way naturally. It came a point in time where society advanced, where they built sophisticated shelters, and they have technology to protect themselves from this problem, that problem, a solution for every disease. So look, we don't need you anymore. we are self-sufficient. We have advanced to the degree where we have technology to solve our own problems, and therefore get lost. We don't want to know from you. We're not going to dive into you. We don't need you. That is what they did when they built the Migdal Babel. They built the Migdal Babel using their technology. They're building a tower to as a symbol. We don't need the Ribbono Shel Olam. And the whole tower is built on Levanim and Chomer. We have improvised. We have artificial stones, artificial cement. We are independent. This is how the Mefarshim is a very common approach to understanding the Dar HaFlaga. Now, I saw in the Sefer, the name of the Sefer is called Alehi Goyon. It's a relatively new Sefer. The Mechaber's name is Yehuda Klein. I don't know who he is. He appears as a very big Talmud Chacham. And he very beautifully takes this and he attaches it with the help of the Malbim, the Shtickel Malbim, which he uses to assist. He takes this idea that's found here in Parshas Noach and he applies it to the difference between the Ma'aseh Merkava of Yecheskel and the Ma'aseh Merkava of Parshas Mishpatim. In Parshas Mishpatim, it's described as Vayiru es Elokei Yisrael. They saw the God of Yisrael. In Yecheskel, when Yecheskel saw the Ma'aseh Merkava, he was not seeing the Elokei Yisrael. It's true, he saw Elokei Yisrael, but he was seeing HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the God of the world. He saw Ma'aseh Elokim. You look very carefully in Yechezkel. It doesn't say there Elokei Yisrael. He saw there HaKadosh Baruch Hu controlling the world. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where he relates to the Umos HaOlam, it's not the way he relates to Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael enjoys a very heavy dosage of Hashkocha Pratis. Hashem Tzilcha Hashem Yiminecha. The same way we relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu relates back to us. If we are meticulous in our observance of Torah Mitzvos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is meticulous, is very careful to protect us, to guard us in everything that we do. It's Zelu Mazeh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is our shadow. The Goyim don't have that sensitivity. By the Goyim, there's a Ribbono Shel Olam. And there's Mazel. Hashem puts you in the world certain situation. No, you serve Hashem a little bit, but basically everything happens is basher to happen, and you have to come and serve Hashem once a week, twice a week, whatever it is, you serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the difference between an Evan and a Levena. An Evan is a natural occurrence. It's a stone. This is part of Teva. When you see HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when a Goy, when the world looks at the God, in God we trust. You look at HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's Kemasei Evan Sapir. Sapphire, Evan. It's natural. Everything, Hashem created the world, make no mistake about it. But there's no room for change. There's no room for creativity. There's no room to advance, to become holier people. Hashem is an Evan. Evan is a natural occurrence. Hashem puts stones in the world and you use stones to build buildings. If you have stones, you build a building. If you don't have a stone, no, so you don't have a stone. You live in a tent. That's the way the world is. That's the way a guy relates to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When a guy sees the Ma'aseh Merkava, it's Evan Sapir. It's Elokim, Elam, Evan Sapir. But in Parashas Mishpatim, after Matan Torah, Vayiru, they didn't see Elokim. They didn't see God. In God we trust on the dollar bill. They saw Elokei Yisrael. They saw the personal relationship that Klal Yisrael has with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that is not an Evan. That's not predetermined mazel it's meant to be. That is in your hands. The way you will see and relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu all depends on your desire to come closer. It is in the category of a levena. A levena is a man-made stone. It's man's ingenuity, his talents, his desire, his creativity. What you put in to make a stone, the structure that you build with when you have levanim, there's no limit. You can build a Migdal Bavel. You can build a mill that goes all the way to Shemayim. There's no limitation. You're not limited with the mazel that you've given with the stones that you've been given in this world. The sky's the limit. Klal Yisrael looks at HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does for us. It's Zel Umazeh. It's Livna Sasapir. It's a Levena. A Levena has the connotation of Hashem will do for you what you do for him. Because it's Elokei Yisrael, it's not Elokim. Okay, to conclude with a very short word on Shkolim. This word made an impression on me. I don't. It's a little bit controversial. I don't think everyone's going to go for it, but I'll tell it to you anyway. I saw this. It's a combination from the Yitav Ponim. You know who the Yitav Ponim is? We have a resident expert in Chassidus. Yitav Lev, maybe? Yitav Lev? Oh, Yitav Lev. See, he knows. Satma, Yitav Lev, and of Avraham Shur. He said something very interesting. We discussed yesterday about the Shkolim. Shkolim is Master Shekel School, Truma La Hashem. Truma. Truma is always 1/50th. Correct? Truma is 1/50th. So we discussed yesterday that means that the value of a person is 25 shekelim. Really? So I told you, yeah, that's what it means. A person's value is 25 shekelim. You have to figure out why that's so, and then you can do moya absulim. We discussed kefel, you have to give the woman, the man's ma'anis, the woman gives her 50, it's kefel. But he says another idea. The yitav ponim is another idea. He says that a person's erich value is his true value. So an adult from 22 to 50 is 50 shkolim. So we can't be if you're giving truma, you're giving one machsa shekel, it's 25. So it can't be that when you're coming to atone for your neshama, you're atoning for your adult lifehood. Because when you're an adult from the year 20 to the year 50, a person's worth 50. So truma would be required to give one shekel if you're giving truma. When do you have the number 25? So the answer is a male, when he's born from 30 days after he leaves the status of a nafel until he becomes 5 years old, his erich value is 5 shkolim. When he's 5 years old until he's 20 years old, the erich value is 20 shkolim. When you're 20 years old, then you're full-fledged adult, you're responsible, you're bar einshin, and that's your adult life. But the value of your life from the time that you come into this world until you become an adult that is responsible for your actions is 25 shkolim. From 30 days until 5 years is 5 shkolim. From 5 years until 20 is 20. 20 plus 5 is 25. When a person is coming to give machzis hashekel, the remainder of his life, you know what he's coming to do? This is the Yitav Lev, unbelievable what he says. He's coming to be mechaper. Maybe I'm sure saying this, I don't remember who's saying exactly what. They both come together. Coming to be mechaper for the sins of your youth. Incredible idea. Most of our adult life, we try to completely deny that it's true, but it is true, is shaped on our younger years. It was an expression, a child's mind is like wet cement. The impressions, the chinuch that we have received from the age, from the time that we're born until we're 20 years old, to a very large degree shapes our entire life. And things that we continue to do, that's how we are. This is what we do, so we do good, bad. This is how we've been raised. This is the way we've come to accept life. And a lot of those things are wrong. A lot of those things are not the way they should be. The machzis hashekel, which is lechaper al nafsho seichem, is truma. Truma is 1/50th. If we're giving a machzis hashekel, that means that what we're coming to mechaper is for 25. 25 is our life from existence until 20 years old. And the Musar Haskel is, that this is the Musar Haskel, that a person, as he goes through life in his adult years, has to always reassess. When you're giving, I'm giving kapara for my younger years. Why am I giving kapara? I didn't do anything wrong. I already clapped al chait. Your whole life, you always have to look back. The purpose of shkolim is look back. Maybe there's improvement that's rooted in something you've done last year. Not necessarily to look back earlier in your life and build and make improvements upon what you've had in the past. Don't just think, oh, tshuva, New Year's resolution, this year I'm going to do this, I'm going to go further and further and further. Machzis Shekel teaches us to reassess your past. Don't just focus on now and the future. If you'll reassess your past, that will enable it change your whole outlook for the future. That's the essence of the kapara of Machzis Shekel L'chaper al Nafsho Sechem. Have a wonderful Shabbos, a good Chodesh, and good Parshas Shkolim.